Let's head to the UK. Dan Bloom is senior author of Politico's London Playbook. Hi, Dan.
Good afternoon. Morning,
now, ironic
evening.
That we're talking about smoking because, quote-unquote, world-leading regulations that New Zealand had introduced under its previous government, yet to take effect, but were about to, or some had taken effect, have since been reversed. What's happening in the UK, however, in picking up on some of this?
Well, I'm very interested in what's happened in New Zealand because we seem to have done it essentially, as far as I can tell, what you were planning to do. The MPs passed about 24 hours ago the first stage of a law that will raise the smoking age by 1 year, once a year, so that essentially no one born after 2009 will ever be allowed to buy cigarettes legally, so that you wipe out smoking generationally. It's a huge talking point here, just as I expect it probably was in New Zealand. You know, it's a totemic policy. And what's really interesting about it here is that it's kind of not in the nature, the instincts of the Conservative Party that run the government here. It's just something that the Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, thought was the right thing to do. And so therefore, very unusually here, he held what's called a free vote, where, you know, MPs were allowed to vote with their consciences and not party allegiances. And barely half the party voted to back this bill at its first stage. It's exposed a real sort of ideological split in the party. And with that, it's also exposed potential leadership contenders, because, of course, he's predicted to lose the election this year and there will be people lining up to take his job, albeit as leader of the opposition, if that comes true. So you've had this spectacle of Kemi Badenoch, who is a cabinet minister here. She's on the right of the party, essentially saying, you know, I just didn't feel this sat right with me, and voting against her government. And she's allowed to do that because it's a free vote. You've got other people sort of in the centre right of the party who are voting with it. So it's really interesting questions about, you know, how this projects forward to what's going to be potentially happening in a year's time.
It would be ironic, wouldn't it, if it were to be seen as a key factor, although there will be many factors, one imagines, in whatever happens if that election is lost. Staying with your Prime Minister, the Rwanda plan, a very controversial plan, is it still in on course?
Well, it depends what you mean by on course, because this plan was announced 2 years and about a week ago now. To take people who are arriving on small boats, you know, in the channel through people traffickers or smugglers and want to claim asylum, and instead of letting them claim asylum, to send them to Rwanda. So not a single person has yet been sent to Rwanda. So if you take that as your meaning of on course, then, you know, it's not a great meaning. And part of the reason for that is because of holdups in the courts. There have been various court rulings that have held this up, and the government is almost there now, almost. It looks like the last stages are put back till Monday now, in passing a bill that will basically override the courts and unilaterally declare Rwanda a safe country and restrict people's abilities to bring legal actions against the deportations. It's been very controversial with sort of, again, the sort of centre-right and a lot of former civil servants and judges and so forth who sit in the House of Lords. And there's a back and forth going with the House of Lords where Labour and what's called crossbenchers, you know, former civil servants, former lawyers and judges, are trying to basically water down this law so that it's not going to declare Rwanda a safe country unilaterally. And they're also trying to take... certain groups of people, such as victims of modern slavery or people who helped the UK overseas, such as interpreters in Afghanistan. And they would say these people are exempt from the law. And so far, the government is completely standing firm in this and refusing to back down. So that still has to resolve itself. But it looks like this law is going to be passed and that flights will finally be able to begin to Rwanda, perhaps in June this year. And the question really is whether that makes a dent to the polls at this point, because our Prime Minister has had as one of his big pledges stop the boats, and a key part of that plan, as far as he sees it, is getting this Rwanda policy passed as a deterrent to stop people coming. And there are several stages here. First, you have to get the flights up, Then you have to show that it's deterred people. And then you have to convince the voters that that means that's a reason to vote for you. So there's a really long road ahead here, and we're still, you know, only at the beginning of it, really.
The personalities of politicians are endlessly fascinating. And I'm just thinking back to this era where you were the, you know, the UK was the best kind of binge box set watch going, which, of course, included Liz Truss's brief tenure as Prime Minister. Her personality is never say die and never say you're wrong. And she now has a book out and is touring furiously. What have we learned from it?
We have learned that, according to her account of things, she was, well, I should say right all along, but that she was resisting all along what she calls a sort of a path towards a sort of technocratic, bureaucratic state that wants to stop, you know, the forces of growth and spontaneity and ingenuity in the country. And she is essentially saying, the title of her book is 10 Years to Save the West. And she believed that there's sort of been a takeover of the institutions of the country over many years, not just this country, but many countries, by the sort of metropolitan left, you know, the left-wing elite. And she calls it the deep state. She blames the deep state for her demise. And that includes all the financial institutions and the watchdogs and the think tanks and all that sort of thing. And she has been fighting this really hard. And that's really what has caught the most attention in Britain about this, is that, you know, she went through an extremely humiliating experience. She had only 49 days in office. Like you say, that our politics was like a binge-worthy box set in 2022. But she has come back and she is fighting and fighting and fighting. She's fighting the next election. She wants to stay as a backbench MP. And she has no sort of shame about it, because she feels that she shouldn't have any shame, that she was right. And some in her party are, you know, not too happy about this, because Labour are delighted about it and using it as a stick to beat the Conservatives with more widely. But what it does show is that there's an ideological battle to come, particularly if the Conservatives don't do well in the election. And she's sort of doing this mix of espousing quite a lot of the sort of American right-wing stuff and saying that Donald Trump might be good for the White House, but also kind of appealing to a wider rise of the conservative right across Europe, and saying that, you know, our country's got things wrong and this is the wrong way. And in that respect, she is reflected by some people in her party.
I mean, the ideological battle is never ending within any party, and particularly within the Conservative Party, as to how conservative you go. But, for example, did she comment on what happened to the pound after her finance minister, her treasurer's budget, which was very quickly reversed? I mean, did she talk about that as an independent judgment of her performance?
She did. I haven't got the quote in front of me, but essentially she is in a sort of tit-for-tat, well, I should just say a tat because it's only one direction, but with the governor of the Bank of England, Andrew Bailey, who she essentially blames for hastening her demise, because he would go out in public and say, you know, we are going to prop up sort of a certain type of liability that was used to invest for pension investments that sort of started to go wrong. And he was saying, you know, we will prop this up till the end of the week and then we'll withdraw it. And then we're very worried. And, you know, lots of financial institutions were commenting on the changes in the plan.
Yeah, it was the Chancellor, of course, Kwasi Kwarteng. I'll have to go back and revisit the box set